A job that requires you to travel overseas can open your eyes to other realities from the ones you're used to seeing at home. What Martin Sheen witnessed outside the filming set helped to change his view of the world and his place in it. In just a bit, he tells us what opened his heart to the needs of others. And later in the hour, we'll enjoy a taste of the hearty foods of Tuscany. Let's start today's Travel with Rick Steves from Out of This World with a focus on one of our most beguiling neighbors in the solar system. A mere bright yellow-looking star to the bare eye, the reality of Saturn is a large planet with vast rings and a multitude of moons, each one different. It's the planet that most inspires young space explorers to pursue astronomy as a career. Just ask Phil Plait, who calls it the gateway planet. As a child, he fell in love with all things space-related, including the ringed planet. Today, Phil is bringing us to the edge of Saturn's rings and giving us a close-up look from inside the planet. Phil, thanks for coming down to Earth and joining us.
Thank you.
So tell us about your first real look at Saturn. What was that like, and how did it impact you?
Well, I was probably 5 or 6 years old, and I am no longer 5 or 6 years old, so I have memories of this that have lasted me an entire lifetime. My parents bought a cheapo telescope, set it up in the driveway, and pointed it at Saturn. And I guess they'd seen something in the newspaper or on TV saying Saturn was as close to Earth as it gets all year, so they went and did this. And I remember seeing Saturn through that eyepiece, and even though it was a terrible telescope, seeing that little disk surrounded by those rings, it was one of the most amazing things I had ever seen. You know, being 5 years old, I hadn't seen that much, but I was really into science and really into science fiction and all that. And seeing it as a real place really struck me. And I know that I'm not alone in this. A lot of astronomers say the moon and Saturn, one of those two or both, is why they wanted to be an astronomer in the first place.
And it was certainly a turning point in your life. Part of your whole career has been sharing your fascination with the solar system and beyond. And your book is Under Alien Skies, A Sightseer's Guide to the Universe. It's like a guidebook for exploring outer space. And Saturn is probably, from the read, it's your favorite chapter. And when you were writing about it, you mentioned the year 2004 was a really big year for Saturn lovers. What happened in 2004?
Well, if I have my dates correct, that's when the Cassini space probe entered orbit around Saturn. This is an immense probe. It was a spacecraft the size of a school bus, and it orbited Saturn for well over 12 years and sent back thousands and thousands of not just images, but all sorts of interesting scientific data about the planet. We've been observing Saturn for hundreds of years, ever since the telescope was first invented, but we may have learned as much about the planet in that mission, the course of the dozen years of that mission, as we had in all those centuries before. It was a windfall of information, as well as spectacular jaw-dropping images.
Wow. That must have just been thrilling for people who have dedicated their lives to exploring the solar system and beyond. So tell us, describe Saturn. I mean, the stripes, the moons, the rings, the density, all that. Tell us about this planet.
We have, what, 6 hours for me to do this? Yeah, I think so.
Let's pretend you're a tour guide, and we've got about 10 minutes. So we just landed. We're on our way to Neptune, but we've got the afternoon for Saturn, and we're sitting on a ring. What are we going to see?
Well, you can't land on Saturn because there's no land there, actually. It is a gas giant. It's a planet about 10 times wider than the Earth, and almost 100 times the mass, the weight, if you want to think of it, of the Earth. So it's really huge, but it's gas.
Yeah, you said it's like, what, lighter than water. You had a great way of describing it. If you had a bathtub big enough and you put Saturn in it, it would float.
Yes, but it would leave a ring. The oldest astronomy joke there is. The planet is mostly atmosphere. It does have a core way deep down, thousands and thousands of miles deep, that's probably rock and metal like Earth is, but this is surrounded by a layer of gas that is so huge that we call it a gas giant. And around it, you have these rings, which are not solid. They are collections of trillions more icy particles. This is frozen water, and they orbit Saturn in a very thin plane. So if you were to see Saturn's rings edge on, they would basically disappear. They are so thin. Now, we're talking about a system, the rings, that are well over 100,000 miles across. but in thickness from top to bottom, they're 10, 20 yards thick. So it's not, you know, 100 miles like you might think. These things are literally thinner to scale than a sheet of paper. So when you see them edge on, they kind of disappear. But if you were in them, you would see yourself being surrounded by just countless tiny, icy, shiny particles, literally frozen water ice. And they're not one ring. And we talk about the ring of Saturn. It's actually the rings of Saturn. The moons and Saturn and different effects pull on these particles, and there are gaps in the rings. Some of them are quite large, some of them are very thin. There's a tiny moon called Daphnis. It's only about a few miles across, embedded in the rings, and its gravity has actually carved a gap in the rings around it. And it actually creates ripples in the rings as well. So they kind of look like a rippled potato chip. We never expected the rings to be this complicated until we got there and looked at them up close. And it turns out they're immensely complicated. People spend their careers studying them. And they're gorgeous.
What a trippy thing to be there. I mean, if you could imagine being there, you've got all of the a kaleidoscope of a visual dazzle. You've got these colorful rings. You've got 145 moons. You've got this giant, giant planet. And as you wrote in the book, there's a permanent hurricane going on. We're not going to be there, but just to think about being there, try to explain, if you were able to, you know, sit on the edge of a ring, what would you see? What would astound you?
If you were looking down on Saturn, the view wouldn't be as spectacular as I would like. When you see Jupiter through a telescope, it's got these gorgeous stripes and bands on them. These are basically storms that are whipping all the way around the planet. Saturn has those as well, but it has a thick haze layer above it, which mutes all that stuff. You know, if you go out on a hazy day and the sky looks kind of fuzzy and ill-defined, it's kind of like that. On the other hand, there are some features like this hexagon on the north pole of Saturn. Now, mind you, it's not solid. We're talking about the top of its atmosphere. And there is like a jet stream of wind blowing around the north pole of Saturn that is shaped like a perfect geometric hexagon. And it's bizarre, but that's just the way flowing winds behave. There's something like that on Earth with the jet stream blowing around. And in the center of that hexagon is a permanent storm that's huge. It's, you know, it's 1,000 or more miles across, and it looks like a giant eye staring straight up from the planet. And so I think, you know, flying over that would be spectacular and a little eerie, a little strange to look down and see something like that.
You know, it just occurred to me, I love talking to good guides because they're so wonky and enthusiastic about things that I never gave a second thought to, and then it gets contagious. And talking to you about this makes me just really want to delve deeper into it. Philip Plait is the author of Under Alien Skies, A Sightseer's Guide to the Universe. He's revealing to us on Travel with Rick Steves why Saturn is the gateway planet for so many young astronomers. Phil also writes about celestial and terrestrial topics for Scientific American, and he hosts a number of TED Talks. His subscription newsletter is at badastronomy.substack.com. So, Phil, I could talk to you a long, long time about Saturn, but I've just got a few more minutes, and I want to talk to you a little broader about your passion for science and the value. And you've written that you've recently become more interested in the history of science and how science has been misused and misrepresented, as if that matters. Tell us why you care about that. What do you see?
I care about science very much. For one thing, it's the best way to understand the physical universe. You know, we know so much about Saturn because we've been there, and we've been there because we sent a probe to Saturn that was based on scientific principles, from the rocket that launched it to the incredibly complex detectors that were on board it. And to understand Saturn itself, we needed science. And the thing about that is, by looking at Saturn, we can understand Earth better. Saturn has weather. It has gravity. It has moons. We have weather. We have gravity. We have an atmosphere. And so we study the Earth, but it's hard because we only have that one example. By looking at Mars and Venus and Saturn and other planets, we can learn more about the Earth.
You know, it's interesting because we have parallel kind of tour guiding. I'm an enthusiastic tour guide for terrestrial activities, and you're kind of a tour guide for getting out into outer space. And I often think the world would be a better in a safer and a more stable place if everybody could travel. Is there a parallel to that of how if everybody had a good grasp of science, the world would be impacted?
Well, I think that would be fantastic because we see so many attacks on science right now, and we see that some of them are globally important. And if people understood the science behind it instead of getting it from relatively unreliable sources, this impacts your health, it impacts your life, it impacts everybody you know and love. And if we understood the science better, that impact would be a positive one instead of a negative one. So I think it's critically important.
I know this is a pipe dream, but I fantasize about a democracy where in order to vote, you have to have a passport and you have had to pass Science 101.
There are some issues with that. It would be tough to implement that sort of thing, and there would be some problems with it. But if you have an electorate, if you have a population that is appreciative of the real world and the science that goes into understanding it, I think you wouldn't need to do that. And so that's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about showing people this, and especially the sky, because it is one of our greatest natural resources. The beauty of it is just incredible. And to be able to show people this, especially Saturn, let me say it just too, since we've been talking about Saturn, I've seen Saturn through a telescope a zillion times. So when I take my telescope out and show it to other people, I just get it in there, get it focused, and then I stand back and watch the people as they see it for the first time. And the joy and the awe on their face, it's so pure and wonderful to see when they realize that this is a place. It's not a picture. It's not something somebody made up. This is a world that exists and is real. And that makes my heart sing. That's the greatest thing ever.
Well, Phil Plait, you are mission-driven, that is for sure. And your book, Under Alien Skies, A Sightseer's Guide to the Universe, is a good way to make that mission closer to reality. Thank you so much for your work and for joining us today.
You're welcome, and thank you.
You'll find web links to Phil Plait's work and his earlier appearance on Travel with Rick Steves in the notes for today's show at ricksteves.com/radio. The down-to-earth foods of Tuscany are the focus of a walking tour around Florence. We'll hear what that's like in just a bit. But first, actor and activist Martin Sheen joins us for a little heart-to-heart on how his own travels have changed his view of the world and his place in it.